Psalms 29. That first song we sang really goes with this psalm here. You remember David is the king of Israel, and he also wrote a lot of music for Israel to sing. And this psalm, these are all songs, you know, and they're almost like congregational prayers, but this one's like a call to worship. And you've got three distinct parts in this. The first couple of verses, you'll see the word give three times. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory. Do unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. All those deal with a call to worship. Then you have the voice of the Lord mentioned seven times, verses 3 through 9. And I'll show you some verses where that matches some things in Revelation, but talk about the powerful voice of the Lord. And then at the end of verse 9 and 10 and 11, you've got the folks that are around the throne and the character of the king here. And so it's broken down in three sections, and that's how we'll cover it tonight. And the idea is a call to worship. And so we'll read a couple verses here, and then we'll pray, and then we'll talk about these things. Verse 1, Psalm 29, 1. It says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The other word that shows up multiple times in this psalm is the word glory. Glory shows up four times here. But let's pray, and we'll talk about a call to worship. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. Lord, I pray that you would feed your flock tonight. Lord, we would get what we need to get out of this psalm and learn what we need to learn from it. And really apply it where it needs to be applied to our lives, as David's making a call to worship here, and not just something to be knowledgeable of, but something to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for your words. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll break this down here. Like I said, three sections, and first one's a call to worship, and you'll notice three or four times here, three times he says give, and one time he says worship in the first two verses. But I'll just give you some thoughts on these things. It is a blessing to read. I try to imagine this, all right? David's the king of Israel, and David writes music for Israel. He writes music for the priests to sing and the musicians to lead in music and things like that. And to hear a king talk like this, I mean, could you imagine if the president of our country talked like this? Give glory to God. Give glory to God. It's time to give glory that's due Him. It is time to worship Him. It's time to, and just talk like that. And he says, like he says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. So David, as a mighty man, is calling out other mighty men and saying, "This, it's time to give glory to God." And I mean, it is a refreshing thing to see that, to think about it, and to know that one day that will be the case in this world. That will be the case. Jesus Christ will be getting the glory that is due him. And, you know, right now you can do it in your own life, but as far as the world goes on the whole scale, is not going to be doing that. But one day they will. So there's a call to worship, and the call to worship the king. First of all, the mighty are called. The mighty are called. And then he says this in verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. So that now it's what they're going to bring. As opposed to weakness and leftovers. Give the Lord glory and strength. Things that are valuable. Things that have meaning. Things that have effect. Things that have power. Things that would make a difference in your life. Let me show you a couple things about this. Look in Romans chapter 4, dealing with the glory of God. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. I'll give you a few places here to look at. Because the glory of God is one of the biggest themes in the Bible. One of the things that's said in Romans, he says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We'll deal with that in a little bit. But Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Notice the glory of God in this verse and how someone would give glory to God. He's talking about Abraham specifically. The Bible says of Abraham, he staggered not, Romans 4, 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So unbelief would be the opposite of giving glory to God, whereas strong faith and trusting God would be the definition, in this case for Abraham, would be the definition of someone giving God glory. Meaning that God deserves my trust. There's no reason I shouldn't trust Him. There's no reason I shouldn't trust His words. He hasn't given me any reason to doubt what He says. In fact, He's given me every reason to believe everything He says. And so Paul says it this way with Abraham as the example. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. All right, so that's one way someone gives glory to God. He says in Psalm, back in Psalm 29, give God glory, give Him strength, give unto the Lord glory and strength. All right, here's another one. You're in Romans, look in Romans chapter 15. I'll give you another one. Romans 15, 5. Because this whole psalm deals with the glory of God, and so I want to show you some definitions here or some ways this is carried out. All right, Romans 15:5 says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Or you read some of that stuff in Philippians. We've been going through that on Wednesday. "That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You may with one mind and one mouth. So not only what's coming out of your mouth, but what's in your mind, what you're thinking about. You're glorifying God with thoughts and glorifying Him with what you're saying. And so all of that said, if everyone's doing that, like we get together, we're singing some hymns, and it's one of the few times, I guess you could say, that we're all saying the same thing, thinking about the same thing at the same time. And it's a good thing. We open up the hymnals, we read these words, and we're all thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all talking about the blood of Jesus Christ in one mind, one mouth, speaking the same things. And it's like a congregational prayer, and it's good. But it's a way you glorify God. I give you one more, all right? And you don't have to turn there. 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says this. He says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." So then he breaks it down all the way to, the way Paul breaks it down, all the way to basic, everyday, routine things in life. And he says, in those routine things in life, it's important to glorify God in eat and drink. And so the very basic things you do every day have an opportunity to glorify God. And I would say you guys probably understand that the things that would get you and I off track are probably little things where we stopped glorifying God, like the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we stopped glorifying God in some areas of our life, and so some of those areas of our life, other things started getting glory, and so Jesus Christ would get pushed out, and so you wouldn't have the work of the Holy Spirit there because there's no glory to God there. But in everyday routine things, glorify God. He says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. All right, so giving glory. All right, we'll go back to Psalms. Also giving strength. That's ability. That's things that are powerful, things that have value, things that have effect, energy, things like that. Then he says this, and back in Psalms 29, verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. All right, so he said this. He's called the mighty to worship God. He's now said, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now he tells them what they're supposed to bring, what you're supposed to bring. And then he says, now give him what's due him. This is what's owed him. All right. I'll give you a few examples of this. I won't make you turn to all these places, but I'll tell you where they're at and give you some examples. You remember when the lepers were healed? There was 10 lepers healed. And they went away and left Jesus Christ. Anybody remember how many came back? One came back. One came back. And Jesus Christ asked this question. He says, there are not found that returned to give glory to God. Or he said this. There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this one stranger. So God had blessed. He had healed 10 lepers. He had changed their physical. He'd helped them physically. He had changed their disease to taken away their disease. And Jesus Christ's testimony was, out of the 10, only one gave glory to God. And it puts that whole verse in Romans 3:23 that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Meaning you took all of his blessings for granted. You never turned around and said, you know what, I'm thankful for that, and this is how I'm going to show my thanks. And so instead of doing that, you just gobbled up the blessings and went on your way. And that's the lepers. The 10 of them got healed. 9 of them were healed, but they never gave glory to God for it. And so when Paul says something like that, where all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that's what it makes me think of, where God doesn't get the glory that's due to him from people. And that is what really one definition of sin, where people take for granted the things that God gives them, and then they just live their life eating up the blessings of God, or eating up what God's provided, until the day where he has to have an accounting made of what he's done and what you've done and what I've done with what he's given you. And so there's the glory due his name. He says this in Romans chapter 12. He says, Romans chapter 12, 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So this is something you're giving. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is, what is it? Your reasonable service. It's just something that it's not out of the ordinary. It's not something extraneous. It's not something that's over the top. It's just, Your life has now been bought. You've been paid for. And if it wasn't paid for, you and I would just circle the pit until we died and go on into a pit. But our lives have been paid for, and the the response to that is, all right, now take the life you've been given and present it as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing unto God, this is your reasonable service. He's not asking you to do something that is like, it's not jump through hoops. It's just yield to the Holy Spirit of God, listen to Him, and do what He says, because your life has now been purchased by His life. All right, I'm making real quick application to us. I'm trying to make some application, but this is worship that's due God. The Bible says this. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So worship that is owed the Lord, and we could go on and on with worship that is owed the Lord, but I think you get the idea. So it's a call to worship. Worship, mighty are called to worship. Worship Him in glory and strength. Worship Him with what's due His name. And then He says, worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Beauty of holiness. And holiness, you may not think of it as